Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Diane McClay Show on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Diane McClay, and we're here to help you empower your life through choice. My guest today is Rick Ornelas, and he is a positive change expert and who inspires others to wake up and start living their unburied dreams through ultimate success coaching. He's the author of 12 Hours of Heaven, Lessons for a Better World, and he's the new founder of iSparkChange.com, because humanity matters. We're here to talk to you today a little bit about how you can use perspective of nature, of inspiration, of creativity to really impact your life in a positive way. And let's get started. Rick, welcome in. I'm happy to have you.
Hi, Diane. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about 12 Hours of Heaven, Lessons for a Better World. I'm about halfway through your book right here. This is something that our listeners can get on Amazon.com. But can you, I know the backstory, but can you share a little bit about a brief history of how that book came to life and why it's important now, especially as we're moving into spring and moving into summer?
Yeah, Diane, the story actually was something that came into my head 20 years ago after I was in a terrible car accident with my wife and two young daughters. Well, they were young at the time, where we were driving down the freeway in the rain, and I lost control of the vehicle, started hydroplaning, spun across the highway, four lanes in one direction, didn't hit any other cars, didn't hit the center divider, spun across back the opposite direction, went up a dirt embankment, hit a cinder block wall, completely flipped the car over and landed back on the wheels.
Wow.
And yeah, wow. Wow was right. And that's what witnesses said. You know, they thought it was the most incredible thing they had ever seen and couldn't believe that we were alive and that we were getting out of the vehicle unharmed, completely unharmed. And so it caused me to think of the miracle of our life. And my mom kept telling me that a guardian angel had protected us, you know, that day. And as I reflected on my life and what was important and, you know, wrote some things down that I wanted to focus on, this idea for a story hit me like a movie in my mind. Like I could see it so clear. And it was the story for 12 Hours of Heaven. But as you were saying, you know, I either life was happening or I didn't have the courage to do it or whatever was happening in my life. I never wrote the story. And then last year when the pandemic hit, you know, almost exactly a year ago, and we were all in that period of unknown and struggling and not knowing what was around the next corner, I decided to use it as an opportunity. And that's when I started writing. Writing the book.
And I know you said that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, and I just said, I completed it, just soon after.
Well, and I know you had a pretty big commitment to getting it done, you know, being committed to a certain number of words per day and that kind of thing. But when we talked offline before we got on the air, you talked about the recognition that time was really valuable. Time was a gift itself, and that COVID gave you that opportunity to just stay concentrated and bring the story to life. Why do you think the story came together now, 20 years later, compared to it just pouring out of you when it happened?
I really believe that it wasn't ready at the time, or more importantly, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready because I wasn't ready to write the story and not as a writer. I don't mean that. I'm not an author until I wrote this book, but ready in terms of my development as an individual. You know, I wasn't ready inside to go through that journey of what it took to write the story and to kind of, you know, bear my soul, if you will, and share everything that was inside me. And I think at last year, when myself along with others were going through that period where we didn't know if, you know, what tomorrow was going to bring, and we're scared and fearful and anxious. And writing helped me to get through that period. And writing helped me to, you know, it gave me the time because my work had slowed down significantly. But at the same time, it gave me the opportunity to grow through that period, through that journey of writing.
Well, I think it's important that you mention that you had the recognition that you weren't ready as an individual. I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that, where they feel like they have a dream that's just on the edge of being ready, or they have an idea or a book or a creative project that they want to do. So I know you coach a lot of people on trying to bring their dreams to the surface. What would be one thing that you would say to our listeners right now about if they don't feel like they're ready? What are two or three things that they could do to get ready or to bring that to the surface for them?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing, Diane, is for them to figure out why, to figure out what is their why for wanting to bring that to the surface. You know, and I'd say the deeper why is why are they doing what they're doing? Because statistics in the US and in Europe show that 70% of people at the end of their lives have regrets that they didn't live out some dream, something they wanted to accomplish in their lives. And to me, that's a very sad statistic, because I think that number is just far too high, that people are missing out. They're really missing out on some of the beautiful things that they could create or experience. And I would say to pause and really evaluate how they got to the point that they are now, and what led them to that point, you know, what choices they made, if they had a certain dream and then, you know, they started a family. So that changed something. I know I've had that happen in my life. And to really evaluate that and look at, you know, what's important to them now, and what, you know, if the timing is right, if the timing is right for them, you know. So I'd say the three things that they can look at is, you know, knowing their why of why they want to do, you know, to unbury that dream and figure out what it is. To look at the timing for themselves, and to look at their readiness, like you spoke about earlier, because if the other two are in alignment and they feel ready, and the only thing that's holding them back is that fear or uncertainty, then they're just one step away from realizing that dream, one step away from that greatness. And that's that, frankly, that's a line that it's very difficult to cross, even though it, you know, it just takes a second. But once they make that commitment and begin, then they'll be really happy they did.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the why, because I think it's a really powerful question. You know, I used to be a park ranger. I was in kind of campground law enforcement for a while. And there was a, when we had some training that we talked about, that he who uses the why has the power. So in an enforcement situation, you know, if I walk up to someone and say, can you put your dog on a leash? The first thing they're going to say is why, right? So now I'm on the defensive. But if I can walk up to them and say, hey, my name's Diane, I'm the park ranger, the reason why I approached you is, now I'm giving them my authority. And then I say, the reason, you know, here's what I need you to do, and here's why. There's poison oak over here. Your dog's unsafe if it's off the leash in this area. Can I get your dog to stay on a leash? That keeps you safe. As soon as I, in an enforcement capacity, when I got to use the why, it put kind of the power in my corner. And I think that this, it's a relative thing, right? As soon as you can recognize your why, you now have some power that can pull you across that fear or that anxiety about starting something. Would you agree?
Oh, I would absolutely agree, because I think so many people, they never identify that why. They just kind of go through the motions, and in essence, they end up just existing rather than really living. Because right. We're creatures of habit. We couldn't survive on this world without all the habits that we have. You know, if we needed to take the brain capacity to, you know, to brush our teeth and all these things, I mean, it would just be too daunting for us as a species. So we get in these habits, but unfortunately, so many people get controlled by these habits that they don't actually live, that they just kind of go through robotic in life. And so finding that why is really what will ignite the passion, and the passion is what's really going to drive that change.
Right. And we can, you know, we can speak to that a little bit about, I don't think you can stop at the first why. I think you kind of have to ask why two or three times and then get into the really deeper version of the why. You know, why am I doing a radio show? Well, because I feel like we have good guests and good information. But the deeper why for me is I feel called to share, to be a conduit for information to people, to spark change, as we'll talk about a little bit later. I feel compelled to inspire people and to bring people together with the guests that I have on my show. That is my deeper why. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I get to meet new, interesting people. But the deeper why is that I feel like I am moved when I meet people like you and hear their stories, and I feel compelled to get those pieces of story and information back out to a broader audience. And that's what makes me show up every time, you know, twice a week, twice a month. I mean, that's my why. And it will lead to bigger things. So one of the things for me is I know your faith is super important to you. And that is very inspiring to you. And I know that nature is something you and I both bonded over. You had a story about being on a 13,000 foot mountain. And Jacob, if you could roll a couple of those photos for me. But for me, I find that my why gets really clear and present for me when I'm able to be quiet and by myself in nature, and I can hear God's voice and I can hear the spirit around me. So can you relay that story a little bit about what was powerful for you? How does that connect to your creativity? And then how does that connect to your iSpark change movement?
I really love how you put all that together, because it's so important to, you know, to kind of, you know, Steve Jobs says, you can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect them going backwards. And this is a perfect example of connecting those dots. So when I had finished writing 12 Hours of Heaven, I finished it at the end of July, and I was, it was due to be published in October. And just before that, I went on a trip to Breckenridge, Colorado, and with my wife, and we went with another couple, some other friends. And I hadn't been to Breckenridge. You know, I've been to Colorado, but hadn't had a chance to hike and explore. And the fall is a beautiful time there. And so we spent the time doing exactly that, exploring, hiking, seeing waterfalls and climbing mountains. And you know, the picture you have is when we had gone on this hike. And I don't remember the name of the exact area that we were hiking there, but we climbed up one part, and then we said, well, now that's a little higher over there, so we need to go to that side. And then we started going up that side, and my wife and her friend, they stopped at one point because they got tired and the altitude was really hitting them. And I decided to keep going with my friend Alvin. And I was so in the moment. So you talk about connecting with nature. You know, two of the lessons in my book are practicing stillness and being present. And I was so present in that moment that I was just so focused on, I'm going to continue here. I wasn't tired at all. It was, you know, athletes talk about getting in that zone. I wasn't struggling breathing. I mean, I left Alvin way behind. I was almost running up this hill, no fatigue, in that zone, present in the moment. All I heard was the wind. All I heard was the wind, and didn't hear anything else. I don't even think I heard my footsteps. I just heard the wind. And I connected spiritually at that moment too. So I connected with God at that moment, and I just became so focused on, I'm just going to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, that I don't even know how much time went by. I don't even know exactly what, all I remember is just, I look at my phone and I'm like, oh, okay. I got past 13,000 feet. I'm at the top here. And the last part of it is, you know, you asked how it, you know, affected iSpark change. At that period in my life, that's where I was having, you know, dreams and visions of what I was due to create beyond 12 Hours of Heaven. And just before that is when I had the idea for iSpark change. And, you know, I realized in that moment that, that if I'm not afraid, if I take those next steps, like we talked about, if I just continue on, then I can, in essence, spark change and help to show others how to spark change. And I recorded a little video of myself there at 13,000 feet and shared that about, you know, the iSpark change was coming out, and it was really well received, and people really enjoyed it. And I'm just so glad that, you know, I had that experience to help, you know, help me relate to everything, and, you know, help bring me along in the journey.
One of the pictures that you shared with me is a picture of your phone that has the compass on it with both the latitude and the longitude on it, with your exact location. But what really stands out to me is just the concept of a compass. 360 degrees, you know, I want to talk about the iSpark change movement that you're creating, but I want to tie it into choice and to courage. And when we feel stuck, afraid, anxious, fearful, when there's something holding us back, I like to anchor myself to the compass, because you don't have to change 360 degrees to make something effective. I think you and I both could agree that if everybody did one thing that was positive, the world would be a better place, because there's this gigantic ripple effect. You talk about, you know, that it only takes one person and one positive act to spark a change. And that's why I like the compass, because there's, you could do 1 degree for a day or a minute or a month or a year and multiply that by 360 whatevers. And you, there can be a really dynamic change. My niece is an environmental science major, and she's really big into the anti-plastic movement. And I keep getting tips from her on one more thing that I could do differently to not contribute to the plastic problem, you know? And it's only one thing, but it's one more thing than what I was doing before. So speak to the compass and tie it into iSpark change. And let's talk about what your goals are for iSpark change and why people need to get into this movement, because it's really kind of unique and different, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I love that connection. I love that connection, Diana, of the compass, because it's funny. I sent you that picture, not even thinking about that, you know, just thinking about, hey, this showed, you know, where I was and how high we went. But I really like the analogy. And I think it does relate, because, you know, we're all trying to find our path. And you know, just if I had been, you know, just a small, you know, few degrees off, it would have taken me twice as long to get to the top of that mountain, right? Just a small change variance in my course. And that's something that I also try to convey to others, is that sparking change does not need to be anything grand. It doesn't mean to be that you're going to feed, you know, a million people in a third world country and you know, do this kind of crazy work that takes, you know, a ton of effort. I did a post this morning on social media on three simple ways to spark change. And one of them is literally just smiling at a stranger that you pass in the street, because you never know what that ripple effect will be to that individual. You never know where they are at you know, what point they are in their day. And that small act, which seems seemingly insignificant to you, it could put someone on the course, could change their course, move it back, get them back on course when they veered off course. I did a segment for a radio show, a Spirit Radio in Ireland. And afterwards, they got a message into the station from a young mother who was having bad postpartum depression and was contemplating ending her life. And after hearing the show, she got so inspired that she was in a much better place.
Wow.
And just that little thing that, you know, I think I'm just talking about it like we are right now. And that helped her. That one little action had that ripple effect and helped her to get back on course, you know, helped set her compass straight. And that's the biggest thing that I'm trying to accomplish with iSpark Change, is to show people that any of that, any positive action, any positive change, the smile, you know, and the other example I used today is returning someone's grocery cart, you know, for them at the supermarket, you know, to save them time and they can be on their way. I mean, anything, they all have the ripple effect that you'll never know the effect until decades from now or you know, centuries from now, when, you know, our great, 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 great grandchildren could, you know, live in a much better world because of our actions. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish with iSpark Change. And, you know, the next phase, if you will, you also asked about what's coming up for iSpark Change, is I'm currently working on growing the community so it can evolve into the world's first social media platform that is 100% geared towards spreading positive change.
Wow.
And connecting everyone in a global angel network, if you will, of those who want to support one another and give, you know, to each other and, you know, provide that love and, you know, growth for one another that will lead to positive change throughout the world.
you know, you talk about Angel Network, and my mind is drawn to, I live out in the Pacific Northwest, and we have a lot of sections of the Pacific Crest Trail, which runs from Canada down to Mexico, nearby where I live. And there is something called an Angel Network. They're trail angels. You know, these people that are through hiking are hiking hundreds and thousands, you know, about 2,300 miles, I think, in the total length. And they don't have access like all the time to like fresh fruit or cold milk or a soda. And so this Angel Network is just this network of people who are completely dedicated to supporting the hiker. It could be somebody who says, hey, my home is open for you to take a shower if you want, or if you need to be driven to town to go get groceries. The local pub here has a buy a pint and pay it forward kind of program where you buy a pint for either an emergency responder or for somebody hiking through. And it's not that these people don't have the money to buy their own beer. It's just the concept of they're doing something really incredulous, you know, very physically challenging. A lot of those people are finding their soul on the trail. And it's the community's way of just putting a little bit, like you say, it's kind of a casual smile at the hiker who says, hey, you know, good job, I support you. There are trail intersections that people have like coolers sitting in streams, and it has like carrots and apples. And they're very, very small, inexpensive ways to support these through hikers. But you read some of these through hikers journals and they are absolutely taken aback, floored, and it is literally the motivation and the power to kind of, it's that one thing that gets them the next 100 or 150 miles to their box stop. So I draw the metaphor because I think that we could, what happens on the trail can happen in the real world. And I like how you tie, because humanity matters, into your title of I Spark Change. It's bringing those little pieces of humanity back into our social system. And doing it not because we have to, because it makes us feel good, but like you say, it creates the ripple. Comments on that?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I love hearing stories like that, because there's a lot of organizations, groups, individuals like that that are doing good, that are spreading positive change. And I try to hear about something like that at least multiple times per week, if not every day. I mean, I subscribe to different things to try to see that every day. And that's a wonderful thing. And what I really want to do is I want to have in our social media platform, I want to have them all connected in one place. Because right now, if you had never told me that story, might I have known about the wonderful thing that they're doing? Maybe never, right? If I didn't go to that area or happened to stumble upon an article on it, or, you know, or see something on TV about it. But if it was all housed in one area where everybody can connect and you can read about what other people are doing and support causes and join causes and all be related, then, you know, it's just kind of raised the collective tide of humanity, right. which is what I'm hoping to see.
Well, and it raises the collective vibration, right? You know, I work with my clients on changing their perspective. I pride myself on being kind of an out of the box thinker. And it's, my belief is that when we can create awareness about something, our power goes up. When we can create a different perspective or see things from a different angle, our power goes up. When we can actually create options from those different perspectives, our power goes up. And then when we can, like I have over my right shoulder, if we can make a choice from those perspectives that we create or that we accumulate from someone else, we have a way of positively affecting change with a positive perspective. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree that everybody has that choice. And my only hope is that people will just continue to take that choice, that they, you know, if they have the option to smile or not to smile, you know, there's that little fear that, oh, I'm just going to go on my way and just walk the other way, that they, it doesn't cost anything. It all it takes is that split second of getting past that fear. But I just hope that people will take that choice to, you know, to support others and empower others.
And we need that, especially in this time where, you know, technology is going faster and faster. You know, we think that Facebook and the other social media platforms are really connecting us, but in a weird way, they're kind of disconnecting us because we're not actually engaging in a face-to-face interaction anymore. And we all know that there's as much negativity out there in the world as there is positivity. And I love the fact that you're highlighting and focusing, you know, positive effects, positive choices, positive behaviors, and creating a positive humanity.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Again, Diane, about the social media, you know, it's led to a state of disconnectedness because we're overconnected. And that's exactly the negative effect of it, is that disconnectedness. And that's why I'm hoping to change that with our social media platform, to connect people in the right way, where they're connected for a cause.
Right.
And, you know, do something good.
Well, let's do two things here. Let's connect people to how they can get your book and how they can get a hold of you and the iSpark Change. So talk a little bit about how people can find you, and then how can they contribute to this iSpark Change movement, either by story or support.
As far as the book, thank you for asking this. As far as the book, it's available on Amazon. It's available on Amazon and Goodreads and Google Play and all platforms. So you can find it online. Just search 12 Hours of Heaven, Lessons for a Better World. And iSpark Change is on all social media platforms and the internet at sparkchange.com. You search Facebook, you'll find a Facebook group, iSpark Change Facebook group, Instagram, Twitter, all different platforms. And the way that people can support right now is if you go to isparkchange.com, you can support by joining the iSpark Change community, joining the Facebook group, and sharing in the Facebook group what you're doing to spread positive change. You know, even if it was like my earlier example, even if you smiled and made someone's day today, then share that and share a picture of that individual, or, you know, share some different ways in the group. And at isparkchange.com, people can also click to be one of the first to join that social media platform when it goes online. So when it becomes available, that they'll, you know, get information about that. But the biggest support that people can do, it's not supporting me or iSpark Change. It's just supporting one another. It's just supporting one another and spreading that positive change, you know, in their community, in their environment, and, you know, throughout the world.
Absolutely. Well, I'm 100% behind the movement. I've already signed up. I've already gotten a welcome newsletter from you, and I'm going to share with you the Pacific Crest Trail Angel Network that exists, just to kind of show you that network. You know, this time that we have just goes crazy, crazy fast. Will you come back again? Will you share with us kind of a couple months from now where isparkchange.com is at and what new positive things have been coming into your world?
Oh, I'd absolutely love that, Diane. Every time I speak with you, we have a great conversation. So yeah, I'd love to be back on the show and share with your listeners what's going on in the iSpark Change world and how we're, you know, sparking change.
Well, that would be awesome. And I'm sorry, we're going to have to kind of cut this short here, but the Transformation Talk Radio is an awesome place for people to spark change in their own lives. The Cornelia Stephanie Media Group is an awesome place for people to... for people to create their own change and to feel supported by that. I'm Diane McClay with the Diane McClay Show, Empowering Life Through Choice. And I'm just here on the second and fourth Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon. I ask you to tune in, and I'll sign off by saying empower your life and empower your choice.
Thank you for listening to the Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.